Please turn with me now to Psalm 63. If you're using your Pew Bible, I thought I wrote it in. I wrote it in for the morning. I forgot the evening.
608.
Page 608. Tonight we'll be looking at Psalm 63. Hear now God's word. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of the liars will be stopped. Let us bow our heads and once again seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious God, we do thank you for this psalm, and we pray that you would lead and guide and direct our hearts and minds to you this evening as we look upon these words. Pray that by your Spirit you would inscribe your truth upon our hearts and minds, and that you by your Spirit would bless my mouth and my mind that I may speak and think clearly this evening. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. There's sometimes in this world that we diligently seek after and go after something that just kind of leaves us wanting more, unsatisfied. You know, I can think of when I was a child, and you know, as you recall, there's times where something will advertise a toy that it, maybe if you collect enough of those little barcode symbols of a particular brand that you could send them in, and you could get this toy for free. Of course, you have to buy everything else in order to get those UPC symbols. But there was one time where I saw these, and of course they were a set of three Transformers that you all know that I loved very much as a child. And so I diligently sought after them. I collected these little symbols and I cut them out and we sent them off, and I had to wait 6 weeks for them to come. And when they came, they were a big disappointment. They were obviously free and cheap and did not satisfy. Well, there are many things in this world that we diligently seek after, and we wake up early for, and we hunger after, and we strive for. But even in the best of things that will fulfill us and satisfy us to some degree here in this life, ultimately it is empty and it won't last. It will come to an end. This Psalm 63, challenges us to seek diligently and be satisfied in God alone, or God primarily, as a primary source of our satisfaction and what we are seeking after, because if that is the case, then we'll never be disappointed. We'll always be satisfied and full in Him. So the theme we'll be looking at this evening is to diligently seek for and be satisfied in God. To diligently seek for and be satisfied in God. This psalm breaks down into three stanzas. There's verses 1 to 3, where we are challenged to diligently seek for God. Stanza 2.2, verses 4 to 8, be completely satisfied in Him. And then lastly, stanza 3, verses 9 to 11, and you will rejoice and boast in Him. So first of all, diligently seek for God in verses 1 to 3. The psalm begins, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. First of all, in verse 1, O God, you are my God. It's right off the bat, this stroke of intimate personal relationship. This isn't just some random deity that David is praying to. This is God. This is his God. This is my God. And that's what we are reminded of here, is to really remember that God is in fact our God. You know, we can, through our day-to-day life, kind of lose sight of that fact. And God becomes, yes, that higher power that requires certain things of us, but we can also lose sight of the fact that he is, in fact, our God. We have that personal, close relationship to him. Well, David here, as the ESV has it, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Earnestly, some, you know, our Psalter uses the word early. It's diligently is what I have. It's the idea of a great anticipation and a hungering after and setting your heart and your mind after something. One illustration that came to mind is, as I was growing up, there's, you know, in Kansas City, if you've spent any time in Kansas City, there's a place called Worlds of Fun. And it's an amusement park. At one time, it was actually bigger than Disneyland, to give you perspective. But I'm not sure, maybe Disneyland has grown. But it's a regional park with roller coasters and various rides and a lot of fun. There's a water park right next to it called Oceans of Fun that you can spend time in the summer. And I remember when we would go there as a youth group or as a family growing up, as a kid, a lot of excitement and looking forward to that. And I remember sleeping very little the night before. I was so excited about going, and I wanted to enjoy it and to ride the various rides that I enjoyed. And I would get up early, and I wanted to experience that. You know, I can also think of, even just as, again, in my childhood, waking up well before my parents would wake up on a Saturday morning to watch the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, of all things, and other cartoons that I really wanted to watch. The things that we love, the things that we greatly desire, we have no problem at all waking up early for and rising. There's an excitement there, an eagerness that we have. And that is what David is saying. He's challenging us. This is the eagerness we're to have with God. You know, early will I seek for you. Diligently, earnestly will I seek for you. Then he further describes it as in very graphic detail, as a soul that is thirsting, as flesh that faints, as in a dry and weary land. This is the backdrop of this, is that when he is traveling in the wilderness of Judah, as the title shows us. So that imagery of walking in a wilderness and the hunger and the thirst that someone would have there is what's directing David and showing us of the hunger and the thirst that we're to have for God himself. Derek Kidner, one of the commentators I use, points out that these verses here, and the language here, they're not describing some stranger that is kind of groping around in the darkness hoping to find God. It's describing the language of a very intimate, eager relationship. It's the eagerness of a friend that is longing to have fellowship with and commune with another fellow friend. It's because of this longing and looking back as he's in this wilderness upon these times that he spent in the sanctuary, beholding the power and the glory of the Lord, where he thinks upon the great steadfast love, the faithfulness of God. It is better than life, David says. His steadfast love is better than life. One of the possible situations that this psalm may have come out of is when Absalom overthrew David, and David was marching through the wilderness of Judah, escaping and being exiled and banished from his kingdom. If that's the case here, he's in a position where he's lost everything, but he still holds on to the fact of God's faithfulness, his steadfast love, clinging to that, and says it is better than life. And because of the steadfast love of God, the faithfulness that God has shown him, his lips will praise him. He will bless him as long as he lives, and his name he will lift up in his hands. These last couple of verses of this opening section remind me of when Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." The idea of David here saying, "Your steadfast love is better than life. To live is Christ, but to die is gain." If we have God as our what we're aiming towards, if we are in His fellowship, in His covenant community, really, there's nothing that can be taken away from us that will, because God Himself can never be taken away. We can still, in dark wilderness times, rejoice and have joy, because God will never be stripped from us. So in this drawing this first section to a close, when our souls are in a wilderness of sorts, let us earnestly at those times seek after God all the more. Let us earnestly and diligently seek after God. Leads us to the second point, be completely satisfied in Him. In verses 4 through 8, or 5 through 8 is what it's supposed to be. "My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips." You know, I'm sure that I'm not the only one, and some of us have experienced restrictive diets to various degrees. Some people kind of strip out all things that are good and tasty, and maybe chew on some rice cakes or some celery sticks or carrot sticks or something like that. But then there are times when we indulge and we take in the good, hearty, wonderful food, and we remember just, oh, how wonderful and good this tastes. And it's filled with fat and everything that our society says is bad for you, but it just tastes so good and is wonderful. And that is really what David, the imagery that he's got here. You know, in Old Testament times, as I've said before, you know, fat was a good thing. That was the best stuff. And I think we could actually learn something from the Old Testament in that regard. It is good, and it has good stuff for us. God Himself requires it. This is my portion. This is the first and the best of it. This is the satisfaction that David sees here. You know, you can imagine if you've gone without this type of food for a while and you go to Five Guys and you grab the hamburger and you just chow in, the satisfaction that is there, that is the satisfaction we're to find in our soul with God. You know, it's far greater than anything that delicious food that we could eat. It's a satisfaction that is complete and total. Verses 1 to 4 sometimes, if we take that interpretation of "early I seek for you" has been attributed to, well, maybe this is the start of the day. But as verses 5 to 8 are really kind of the close of the day. This psalm then has the bookends of a day that is filled with seeking after and finding your satisfaction in God. When in verse 6 David writes, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." He goes on to say, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me." One of the other commentators that I read during this series, his name is J.A. Motyer. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He has a quote in reference to this verse talking about the shadow of, "Under the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." And you know, that's that well-known scripture picture of a mother bird gathering her chicks underneath her wings for protection. You know, Jesus in the Gospels cries out, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not have it." This commentator points out that, well, his quote is, "My darkness is the shadow of his wings." So if you consider what David is going through, he is being, if it is what Absalom banishing him from the kingdom, he's in the wilderness without much food, and he's hungry, tired, but he's still seeking after diligent for God. He is finding satisfaction in him. It's a very dark period in his life. He understands that he is, in fact, under the wings and the shelter of God Almighty. And that's maybe to put a different spin on kind of the dark times that we have, these wilderness experiences. Maybe it's not that God has abandoned us at all, but it's the fact we are under the shadow of his wings, that we're experiencing this darkness because we are in his shade. The gentleman that A.J. Amatyar was kind of quoting put it this way. He said basically that his shadow was the hand of God coming to console him. That in the darkest hour, that he was in the shade of the Almighty's hand as he was coming to console and minister to him. In this way, then, as David here paints this picture, he's under the wings of God. God is his help. His soul clings to him. One commentator referenced and really liked kind of the old King James way that this phrase was translated. It says, "My soul followeth hard after thee." It's a picture of a hard pursuit that the soul is having to God. It's a clinging on, but it's kind of a hot pursuit and pursuing after God. It's again tied to that earnestly seeking, that diligently, early seeking at the opening of the psalm. But here it's also balanced then with what God is doing. That God is upholding us by his right hand. The imagery of right hand in Scripture is the imagery of power, of strength, and of might. The ability to conquer someone. So when it says that God is upholding us by his right hand, it's his strength, it's his power, it's his might that is upholding us. So we have this dual picture here. David is calling upon us to follow after earnestly for God, to cling to him, to pursue him. At the same time, God in his strength and his might is holding on to and upholding us. Again, it's that imagery that Kidner pointed out. This isn't some, you know, two strangers that are kind of groping for one another. This is a friendship, a relationship that is established of two people clinging to and holding on for one another, to one another. And so as we consider, you know, kind of moving along through this psalm, in the opening, you know, when our souls are in a wilderness, we're to earnestly seek after God. But let us also make sure we're finding our satisfaction in him, clinging to him as he upholds us. Find our satisfaction in God primarily. The last stanza is kind of the result of one who earnestly seeks for God, who finds his satisfaction in him. In verses 9 to 11 we read, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult. For the mouths of liars will be stopped." Now, if, you know, the speculation of the historic setting of this psalm, when Absalom kicked David out and overthrew him, that was a very dark period in David's life, a very sorrowful time for him. But yet we still see in these verses, we still see his confidence and trust in God. For in verse 11, "But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult." There's a certainty expressed there. This will happen. I am, you know, exiled now, but the king will rejoice in God. And those who call upon or swear by his name will exult in him. Now, as we've kind of looked through this psalm, we've taken the approach of, you know, when our souls are kind of in a wilderness type experience, we're to seek after God, diligently seek after him, find our satisfaction in him. But what does it mean when our soul is in a wilderness? Well, I think, you know, we've all gone through those periods where it feels like we're far off from God. Maybe we feel like we're estranged from him. Maybe we feel alienated. Maybe we feel dark and cold spiritually. Maybe we're going through a deep, dark valley that Scripture talks about and that God's people go through from time to time. As we consider what the wilderness experiences here, in these verses, in this psalm, it'd be an enemy's pursuit. You know, David has been, if the historic setting is correct, and Absalom has kicked him out and overthrown him. His enemies have pursued him and seemingly travailed or have been victorious over him. His enemies have pursued and in the world's eyes have conquered him. So in this context, as we consider what our soul's wilderness might be, according to Psalm 63, let us consider our enemies. You know, who are the enemies of God's people? It is the evil one, primarily. It is our own sinfulness, our own fallen nature that seeks to trip us up. It's the world around us that is used to entice us away from God, that world system that is opposed to God. These are our chief enemies. So what does this psalm remind us about our enemies? When we're in those wilderness experiences where it seems like our enemies have cut off and driven us from the face of God, driven us from His presence, and brought us to a very low, dark period valley in our life, the encouragement that the psalm gives us that in the end, our enemy will go to the depths of the earth. Our enemies will be defeated and victorious. Our sin is defeated in Christ. The enemy of God's people is defeated in Christ. And this world and its anti-God system will be overthrown completely when Christ returns. It will face the power of the sword and fall. Its portion will be for the jackals. The jackals, you know, being scavengers and cleaning up what is left over from dead corpses lying on the ground. But the last portion, the last line, is really where I find a lot of comfort for our here and now. That imagery of ultimate defeat is kind of what's coming and what's here. Or what's to be expected. And this also is to be what's expected, but it also has some great comfort for us here now. The mouths of liars will be stopped. And one of the encouraging things that I've told a few members here that Alicia has told me, and as you know, maybe I was in times of facing various temptations and feeling overthrown and beaten down in some regards, she asked me to think about, like, what lies am I believing? You know, when we consider when we're enticed away, when we're tempted in certain areas, we're really believing certain lies that the evil one has told us. You know, and that's really from the very beginning. As he came to Adam and Eve and he said, did God really say? It's a lie. It's an enticing away. And so let us consider, what lies are we believing? When we are tempted in certain ways, when we're feeling just discouraged and downtrodden, let us consider, what lies are we believing? But let us also remember the last line of Psalm 63, the mouths of those who utter lies will be stopped. And we consider our enemies then, wickedness, our own sin, the evil one, and the world opposed to God, and the lies that are told to us internally and externally every single day. Let us take comfort in the fact that those mouths will stop. Those mouths will cease to speak lies. Our own sinful hearts that deceive us and beat us down will be made to stop. They will no longer be able to lie to us. I think that is a great comfort that the psalm gives us. We're called upon to earnestly seek God, to seek Him early, to seek Him diligently. Even in a wilderness situation where we feel expelled from His presence, we're to find our satisfaction in Him. We're to seek Him day and night throughout the day, resting and trusting upon His steadfast love, resting in the security that is found underneath His wings. And as we do this, as we find our satisfaction primarily in God, but we are promised, brothers and sisters, that in the end, we will rejoice in Him. We will exalt in Him. So it may feel like we are going through a dark period in our life now, But there will come a time when we will exalt in Him, we will rejoice in God. And that is why we are called, brothers and sisters, to diligently seek for Him and be completely and totally and primarily satisfied in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gracious Father, Lord, we do thank You for the psalm that You have given to us. And some of us may be experiencing a wilderness-type experience for our souls tonight. But we all at some point will or have experienced these times. And Lord, in these times above all, may we earnestly and diligently and early seek for You. May we meditate upon You in our beds at night. And may we, Father, find our complete and total and our primary satisfaction in You alone. As we do this, Lord, no matter what comes, no matter what may be stripped away from us, we will always be satisfied in You. And there will come a day where we will rejoice and we will exult in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.